If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in a lot of different places, but I'm going to start out in Hebrews chapter number 11, and I don't know if you could go to the end of the earth and order a song that would go better with what I'm preaching tonight. The title is the doctrine of our Almighty God. I'm going to let you stay seated tonight and read a couple of verses. Verse number 5 in Hebrews 11 says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death." How many would rather go that way? I'd rather go that way. Amen. There's a lot of uncertainties in death, but there's one thing for certain for the child of God. We won't die alone. The psalmist said, "Behold, thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Brother Mays Jackson, years and years ago, I don't know how many years ago, he said the Americans, he said they have astronauts, and he said the Russians have cosmonauts. He said, before there was an American or a Russian, God had a was not. Enoch was, and he was not. Amen. Then the Bible said, this is our key verse tonight, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We're going to approach this doctrine tonight. And no way you could stand here till Jesus comes, because you cover it in its entirety. I'm trying to kind of abbreviate a little bit as we go through. But I'm not interested in getting into atheism and pantheism and all that stuff. I just want to talk about this God that we serve, this mighty God that loves us, and we love him tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll bless our presence together, Lord, this meeting together, our gathering together. You said where two or three gather together in my name, that there you would be in the midst thereof. Lord, tonight we don't always tell you, but I hope our heart always says, we welcome you in our midst. Because, Lord, if anything's done of eternal value in any service, God, you have to do it. Lord, I thank you this morning for what you did. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'll work in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Good to see Brother Wayne and Sister Carol this morning, wasn't it? Amen. So good. We're talking about the doctrine of God. And, you know, honestly, if you don't get the first verse in the Bible right, you're not going to get anything right. In the beginning, God. And we'll get into it a little bit after a while, but I don't think anywhere in the Bible does the existence of God, does anybody attempt to prove his existence. You understand what I mean? And what I wanted to, the reason I wanted to start with that verse of Scripture, we must believe that he is. There he is. Amen. And I can say this, like Paul talked to Timothy, that from a child, I never had a problem knowing that there was a God in heaven. Amen. And that he is the God of the universe, the Creator, in the beginning God. It never occurred to any prophet or apostle to try to prove the existence of God. It was just simply stated. Amen. There he is. In the Old Testament, Jehovah is Israel's God. I'm going to read a little bit from Deuteronomy chapter number 10. He said, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger, and giveth him food and raiment. Love you therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70. I believe that'd be 70, wouldn't it? And now, Lord thy God, the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. And so the children of Israel are being challenged here. And they're told here, hath not he done great and terrible things? And you can just think about what God did for them. How'd you like to, you ladies wouldn't like this. How'd you like to live 40 years and never have to buy another pair of shoes? Amen. Their clothes didn't get old. Amen. They wandered around in the wilderness and everything lasted. Amen. And how'd you like to see somebody smite a rock and water start gushing out of it? And you know, if you understand the Bible, you say, well, Pastor, how come water comes? Because God was in that rock. The Bible said that rock was Christ. And the rock followed them. Amen. In the wilderness. We're talking about a great God. Amen. How'd you like to go out every morning and there's the dew? God watered the earth with the dew. And there was that coriander seed. There was that manna just sitting on the dew, just waiting to be collected. And you could collect it every day except on the Sabbath day. I started to say Sunday, but Sunday ain't the Sabbath. Saturday's the Sabbath. And so on Friday, they would collect enough to do both days. Amen. I'm just telling you that what was said in these verses right here is recalling the greatness of God. They're backed up against the Red Sea now. Here comes Pharaoh and his army. Oh, it'd have been better if we'd just stayed down there in Egypt. God said, wait just a minute. I got something I want to show you. I'll show you some dry ground in the midst of a sea. I'm going to stand the wall of water on that side. Have you ever went to an aquarium? How many of you ever went to an aquarium? I've just wondered if you could look in that wall of water and see them fishes over there, you know, like you do. I don't know. Amen. It don't hurt to wonder, does it? Amen. I don't know what they saw, but I know this. The ground was dry. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. I believe that that was a swamp that they crossed over in. But somebody else said, hey, I like this. Said, you know what you want to talk about like that? Said, it's an even greater miracle that God drowned Pharaoh, his horses, and his army in a swamp. There ain't no need to try to change the Bible. Amen. The Bible is telling us of our great God and Savior. Amen. In the New Testament, God is the Father of Jesus Christ, as well as the Father of every born-again child of God. That's why when we're taught how to pray, Jesus gives the model prayer. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I remember telling the church, I don't know if you recall it or not, but Miss Eve and I were courting, and I looked over at her one day. We were riding down the road, and I said, Eve, do you fear God? See, I didn't call her Miss Eve back then. Amen. I just called her Eve. Amen. But anyway, I said, Eve, do you fear God? She looked back at me and said, no, am I supposed to? But I'm going to tell you something. I feared God. God just brought something back to my memory. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you. But every night when I had my mind, do y'all know what I'm saying right there? When I had my mind and my thoughts about me, when I laid down to go to sleep, I said, our Father who art in heaven. I know it was vain repetition in a way, but I tell you what, I feared God. Amen. I knew there was a God up there. Amen. And I knew that if I died, I'd be in trouble with him. the doctrine, beloved, of revelation. Listen to this. We've taught the doctrine of revelation, the doctrine of inspiration. But the doctrine of revelation is not so much to prove that there is a God in the Bible, but rather to show that we can know the God of the Bible. That's why the Bible's inspired. That's why God gave us the revelation, that we might know Him that is true. Amen. Think about this. The Job said this. I had never run across this before. I studied this time. Job said in Job chapter 12, he said, "But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee." I said something preaching a while back. I don't know if it was here, but I know I've said it preaching before. I said, I know how to call a dog. Kitty, kitty. You can call a cat. You can call a turkey. Amen. There's all kinds of things. There's calls that you can call a deer. You can call a coyote. I don't know how you call fish. I believe this right here saying they can be called. You remember Jesus, I believe, spoke to them fish, said, "Boys, go over there tonight. Them going to work their hind end off all night long. They ain't going to catch nothing. When I tell you, come on back over here at the boat." Amen. You say, "Pastor, you've lost your mind." No, I believe God's in control of creation. He's a creator. Amen. He said here, "Now ask the beasts, shall they shall teach thee. The fowls of the air, they shall teach thee. Or speak to the earth, and this shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" I want you to think about that for just a moment. My grandfather's an old-fashioned Baptist preacher, didn't have a lot of education, but he'd get to talking about stuff that's going on in this world, and he'd say this. God brought it back to my mind when I read that. He'd say, "My goodness, youngins, the dog's got better sense than that." He's right. Amen. The dog's got better sense than to do what a lot of people are doing in this world. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, this is to magnify. Listen, the Bible said in Romans 8:19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that's fixing to set this thing free. Say amen. You can go, beloved, and have a rose without a thorn. And you can, that the child, when Jesus is sitting on the throne of David, he can play on the hole of an asp. He won't have to worry about, beloved, getting bit. He won't have to worry about dying. A lion will lay right down beside of a lamb. And thank God Almighty, amen, there'll be peace like this world has never seen. Because the Prince of Peace will be sitting on the throne. Amen. Now I want to ask you a question. What happens? I don't believe there's a person in this building tonight that has a problem with saying, "He is." Glory to God. God is. You don't have to prove it to me. He is. Amen. Must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But what happens when the existence of God is denied? What happens? The Bible gives us some things about this. The Bible said in Psalm 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." One guy told another fellow that he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. He said, "Well, the country thought so much of you, they gave you a special day." He said, "I didn't know that. What day is it?" He said, "It's April Fool's Day." Amen. The Bible said in Psalm 53:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they. They have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." God don't have to say anything but once, but He said it twice. The very same thing. God said it twice. In Romans chapter 1, go there with me just a moment. You want to know where the problems stem from? I'm going to show you in the Word of God. In Romans chapter number 1, what happens when the existence of God is denied? What happens when people start believing things like they're their own God? What happens when they start believing what secular humanism teaches? Let's go here. Start reading in verse 17. The Bible said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that," watch this, "that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." I'm going to go back to John chapter number 1 for just a moment, quote a verse. "This is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world." You know what? If a man will accept the light that God gives him, you know what my God will do? He'll give him more light. But you reject that light in the beginning, you reject the God of this Bible, you reject His existence, and watch what happens. The Bible said, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." I've had people say to me, "Well, what about this nation overseas, or what about this nation overseas?" Let me tell you something. Somewhere, every one of those nations turned their back on the God of this Bible. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" God didn't put the moon in the sky to worship. He put the moon in the sky to put in a person's heart. Who made that moon? Amen. You say, "Pastor, what are you trying to say?" The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. God said, "Listen, man leaves this world without Jesus, he's without excuse." You mark her down. Mark her down. God doesn't make any mistakes. Ain't nobody going to sneak into heaven. Amen. And there ain't going to be nobody in hell by mistake. Amen. Watch what the Bible said. "Because that, when they knew God..." Now, that don't mean that they knew Him the way you and I know Him, in the free pardon of sin. But what it means is that light, God had given them that light, even in the creation. They knew God. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We got a lot of them in seminaries. I said seminaries. Amen. I'm talking about, beloved, people that question the authority of the Word of God, deny the authority of the Word of God. They're doing more harm than good. Amen. Watch what the Bible said here. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things." You can think about Nebuchadnezzar when he made his image of gold. He said, "When you hear the music, you're going to bow down." How many's glad those three little boys said, "No, we ain't going to bow." Amen. Listen, that old image is not our God. Our God's in heaven. Amen. We're not going to bow. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie." If you study this out, they exchange it. That's what's being talked about right here. You can't change the truth. Amen. The truth will stand when the world's on fire. Amen. The Bible said they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. There's people, beloved, listen. This church has experienced it right here. Right here. This bank out here, every time I think about that bank, I think about Brother Merv Sally getting his feet tripped up, rolling down that bank when they was cleaning them briars and stuff. Some of y'all don't know about that. Amen. You remember it, don't you, Brother John? Merv rolled down through there, and they was trying to clean that bank up. Well, they come in there and they buried a pipe and put dirt over top of it, smoothed it out. Boy, it looks good all the way back to the shelter. And it's a mess from the shelter back. You want to know why? Because the EPA come in here. And they some little something living back yonder in that ditch. I don't know if it is or not or now. Amen. Whether it's living there now or not. Amen. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There are people that would, listen, put you in jail over a puppy. But they don't care nothing about killing the babies. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, the Bible said God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's what happens when the existence of God is denied. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one to another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. You say, Pastor, how did all this come about? There is no God. They denied the existence of God. And beloved, it is important, amen, to instill in our children. It is important to stand for what's right in this generation. The Bible declares, beloved, the heaven is the glory, the heavens declare the glory of God. The Bible says in Psalm 97, the heavens declare His righteousness and all the people see His glory. Now listen, this is not original with me, but I like it. I read this and I wrote it down. Nature is God's braille for a blind humanity. Glory to God. Nature is God's braille for blind humanity. I'm telling you, beloved, God, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He gave us this world that we live in. He is the Creator of all things. There's three main stages I want to talk to you about tonight in the development of the doctrine of God. Our God's being, just the fact that He is, it dominates the Scripture. He is. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar said after them three boys come out of the fire in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 29. Here's what he said. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. You say, Pastor, he's completely different. That's what happens when you meet God. Amen? You're completely different. He said here, it shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill because, what was the reason? There's no other God that can deliver after this sword. Glory to God. I mean, even Nebuchadnezzar, that wicked king, realized there's only one God. Amen. And no other could deliver after that. Timothy said it like this, or Paul said it to Timothy in 1 Timothy. He said, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I was told today about a lady in our congregation that talked to some higher-ups in a certain religious sect, and she was told that there was more than one way to heaven. And she said, that was it for me. That was my ticket out of there. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I like it. I use this illustration often if you've not heard it, but I like that show, Let's Make a Deal. I liked it down at the end. Amen. You got three doors, door number one, door number two, and door number three. And you got a chance at the big deal. Amen. And you can turn in what you've won, and you might get a big deal, and you might get a big donkey eating straw. Amen. How many remembers the show? Oh, I liked it. Amen. Some of them outfits was hilarious. Amen. People would wear. But you know what? The night I needed to be saved, my Lord Jesus didn't come down there and say, now, Rick, pick door number one, door number two, or door number three. I'd have got it wrong, Brother Dale. Sure as I'm living, I'd have got it wrong. But he just said, son, I am the door. Glory to God. There ain't but one door into heaven. Amen. Ain't nobody going in a back door, side door. Jesus is the door. Amen. Malachi said, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Romans 3:30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. But to us, 1 Corinthians 8:6, to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Ephesians 4:6 said, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and I like this part, and in you all. I tell you what, Paul must have been from the south. There he goes again with you all. Amen. In you all. Praise God. Then we see, not only, beloved, do we see that our God's being dominates Scripture, but we see the revelation of God in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14:9, Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." You think about that. "And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" James 2:19 said, "Thou believest," listen to me carefully right here, "thou believest there's one God?" James said, "Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." I didn't think about this before, Brother Chris, but it looks to me like the devil's got one up on the atheist. At least they believe there's one God, amen, and they tremble. But here's what I wanted to magnify right there. Believing in God alone won't get you to heaven. I'm going to share with you in a little bit. It's got to be, you know what Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, you believe in God. What's the next word? "Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus is the way to the Father. Amen. It's not sufficient just to believe that there is a God. We must trust His Son. His Son is the way to know Him. Then we have the record tonight given by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. John 1:1 and verse 14. You remember, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And if you have a trouble finding out what he's talking about there with the Word, in verse number 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You can't miss it. You wonder, how many wonders how the Jews missed him? I do. I mean, listen, God had a plan all along. Amen. Blindness in part was going to come to Israel so that the Gentiles could be grafted into that wild olive tree. God had a plan. I thank God he had a plan. Amen. But you wonder, how could they read Isaiah? They had Isaiah. How could you read Isaiah? How could you read the Psalms? How could you read Psalm 22, 23, and 24 and miss him? How could you? How did I miss him for 27 years? Brother John, how old were you when you got saved, brother? How old were you, Brother Chris, when you got saved? I didn't hear, Brother John, I couldn't. 26? You was just about as hard-headed as I was. How did we miss him, brother? He was all around. He was good to us before we ever got saved. I wouldn't have lived to got saved if he wasn't good to me. Amen. He was good to me. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the way to the Son. And the Son is the way to the Father. And all three of them work together to show us the way to the Father's house. I like that, don't you? Amen. I'm going to the Father's house. Our concept of God, I'll share this with you tonight. I'm almost done. Finished. Our concept of God determines our views concerning the world. If we don't get this right about God, we don't look at the world right. We don't look at sin right. We don't look at life right. We don't look at our duty right. We don't look at our conduct right. I heard this years ago, and it's worth repeating. The person who believes right behaves right. If we don't believe right, we're not going to behave right. And so our concept of God, the doctrine of God is vital, because if our view of God is distorted or unscriptural, it leads to perverted concepts of all other biblical truth. Here's some of the statements that you'll get. "Well, the devil made me do it." Did he? Not according to this book. You'll hear statements like this. Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to be mean. "God made me this way." Mm-mm. I'm talking about people who use that for a lifestyle that God said is an abomination. "God made me this way." That's just not true, young'un. That's a misconception of the God of this Bible. People say things like this: "Well, a good God who loves me would never send me to hell." How many understands? There's a misconception of the God of this Bible. There's actually a denial of the God of this Bible. There's others that'll say, "Well, I'm my own God. I thought about this term. I think about my grandpa lots when I'm preparing to preach. My grandpa, he called the Jehovah's Witnesses no-hellers. I never did hear him say Jehovah's Witnesses or JWs. He'd say them no-hellers come by again. But you know what? A misconception of God and the truth concerning the doctrine of God would lead you to a place where you're not thinking right concerning a place called hell and a place called heaven. And then what about evolution? Did the Bible say that we're created in His image? I'm going to close with this tonight. Three monkeys sat in a coconut tree discussing the things that are said to be. Said one to another, "Now listen, you two, there's a certain rumor, but it can't be true, that man descended from our noble race. Why, the very idea, it's a disgrace. No monkey ever deserted his wife, starved her babies, and ruined her life. Nor did ever a monkey, mother monkey, leave her babies without others to bunk, or pass them on from one to another, till they scarcely knew who was their mother. And another thing you'll never see, a monkey building a nest around the coconut tree, and let the coconuts go to waste, forbidding all other monkeys to have a taste. Why, if I build a fence around a coconut tree, starvation would cause me to distribute to you. Here's another thing that a monkey won't do. Go out at night and get on a stew, or use a gun, a club, or a knife to take another monkey's life. Yes, man descended, the ornery cuss, but brother, he didn't descend from us." I think the monkeys would be ashamed, don't you? Amen. Amen. They would be ashamed. I'm glad I know the God of this book. I'm glad He knows me. Amen. And I'm tired. Are you? Amen. I'm about out of gas, youngins. Amen. The gas tank don't run near as deep as it used to. Amen.